Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. According to recent statistics from the United States Department of Agriculture, South Dakota remains one of the top ag producers in the nation. The state is tops in the production of bison and second in the production of honey, flaxseed, millet, and sunflowers. The state is in the top 10 for wheat, corn, soybeans, and oats. And South Dakota also ranked number 5 in beef cows, number 6 for sheep and lambs. Lucas Lynch is South Dakota Secretary of Agriculture. He joins us on the line. Secretary Lynch, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Charles, good afternoon. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Well, the report from the USDA sounds essentially a reconfirmation of how important agriculture is to South Dakota.
Yeah, absolutely. In a state like South Dakota, where our population is just a little over 800,000, and we've got 46,000 farm and ranch families out there working every day in production agriculture, you know, these statistics just really continue to elevate the fact that in South Dakota, agriculture is our number one industry, and the diversification of that industry is really what brings great value to the future of our state.
Were there any big changes from earlier years in those USDA statistics, or do South Dakota's position stay fairly constant year to year?
You know, I think there's a lot of consistency in the rankings. When you look at some of the ones that we're number one or two in, the other side of that is many times North Dakota's trading spots with us, whether we're talking about bison or honey. We have a tendency to go back and forth in terms of number count, and that's the opportunity that we have being in the upper Great Plains is some of the unique things that we get to enjoy, whether that's our diversity of landscape, our weather changes from one corner of the state to the other, our row crops to our small grains. And one of the things that just continues to tell us the fact is that there's value in livestock, and we continue to see a growth on the livestock front, because we recognize that that's how we can add value to our rural communities, is investing in agriculture, and that diversified ag portfolio includes livestock.
Now, the statistics from the USDA, when those come in, what does the State Department of Agriculture do with them?
You know, when we look at these, it helps us tell ag story. When again, as I mentioned, 46,000 farm and ranch families, and when you look at all of the components that touch production agriculture today, whether it be the value-added processing or different careers that are out there, about 15% of our state is tied in one way, shape, or form to agriculture and ag production. And so these stats help us to identify where our emerging areas. When we look at pork production, for example, that we only have 1.2 million hogs in South Dakota. We are really shipping a lot of grain out of state to other livestock in different parts of the country in order to be fed. And, you know, we see that as a great growth opportunity for us to continue to grow, because 1.2 million sounds like a lot, but if you take another hard look at it, it really only represents 1.8% of the U.S. total. And so those are the things that continue to show us opportunity.
Well, that was one of the things that I found surprising, that the state ranking so low in hog production. Why is that? Is this just something that's been historical, or is it go up and down?
You know, I think it's all about economies of scale, and modern agriculture is continuing to evolve. You know, one of the most important things that we can remember is that livestock production of the 1980s is not livestock production of today. If you haven't been on a modern livestock feeding facility in the last 3 to 5 years, you really don't know modern agriculture. And that goes for even being in a tractor or a combine. Technology has brought so much change and better and best processes to our developing areas. And in pork production, we see that as well. We've got some state-of-the-art facilities in our state, same on the dairy side. When we see modern agriculture continue to evolve with best practices on livestock, that creates the opportunity for us to find good locations. The one other thing that seems to be really driving this conversation is the availability of feed. And as the grain belt continues to move westward, whether that between moisture and technology, we really have opened up new areas for feed production. And so that's part of the reason why we're seeing, you know, corn last year was at 535 million bushels, and that sounds like an incredible amount, but that's only 5% of the national supply. And so with that grain moving west, that also opens up a corridor of opportunities for livestock production And I think pigs are going to be a great shining star for us in the future.
Are there certain efforts underway to help promote increased pork production in South Dakota?
You know, I would probably put it all together. You're in the South Dakota Department of Agriculture. We work for the citizens of South Dakota and our farmers and ranchers. And as your Department of Ag, we've taken a very proactive role of working with counties at a local level. You know, one of the things that makes South Dakota unique is that we embrace local control. When you know, the state doesn't tell local level government how to do business, and we want to embrace it. And so what we've done is we've actually are in the midst of launching a county site analysis, working with counties from all over the state that want to take a good hard look at their infrastructure. What are the things that make them unique, whether that be their roads, their rural water, access to power, three-phase power? What are the things that create a nice network of opportunity for the future? What are their setbacks? And putting all of that together to recognize potential sites that really might be best suited for, maybe that's a livestock facility, or maybe it's a value-added processing. But at the end of the day, we don't make those decisions at a local level. Local producers, local landowners are making those decisions, and we're just trying to provide resources and information to the counties to help in that process.
Earlier, you mentioned the statistics regarding, I think it was corn production. In looking at those USDA statistics from last year, I'm assuming that they, to a certain extent, reflect the reduced production because of last year's drought conditions?
Absolutely. You know, last year's drought really hampered our grain production in the state, particularly our corn. This year, in the southeastern part, we've received a lot of timely rains to help bring this year's crop together. In the northeast corner of the state, you know, just having recently spent some time up there over the weekend, boy, I tell you what, we are really in a tough spot up there. Soybeans are drying up, and you know, it without rain, we can't make it happen. And that subsoil moisture from last year is reduced, and so in the areas where the crop looks fantastic, that's because the good Lord gave us some rain, and Mother Nature really helped bring that to fruition. But in other areas where the subsoil moisture just isn't there, you know, we're really in a tough situation.
And I imagine that you were also hearing concern with the current heat wave and the lack of rainfall.
Absolutely, I mean, this is a tough week. This is a week where without the rain in certain areas, the stress on the crops is just going to be it'll be what brings it to an end, or you know, makes it mature very quickly and finish out one way or the other. You know, the opportunity right now is just to hold on to this week. You know, we're hopeful that we might get a shot of rain, but it sure doesn't look like there's much on the horizon right now.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and we're talking with Lucas Lench, South Dakota Secretary of Agriculture, talking about recent statistics from the USDA, putting South Dakota at near the top of the nation's ag producers. Secretary Lench, when I was looking over some of those statistics, one of the things that was interesting to me anyway was just, and this is something you touched on, was the variety of commodities the state produces. We always think of corn and soybeans and wheat, but also things like flaxseed and millet, for example. Are there other things that are emerging that you're aware of in South Dakota?
Well, we know that with livestock opportunities and the cattle on feed, alfalfa hay is still something that we need a lot of. We're ranked fifth in the country for production in 2012, which is only 5% of the total. When you look at the feedstuffs that go into that industry, it's a big part of that, corn silage as well. When you're thinking about what the future of agriculture looks like and the emerging markets, it's hard not to think about pulse crops. It's one of those that's out there far in the future, but it's emerging in the sense that there's a lot more conversation happening with that. And that's the peas and lentils and chickpeas, because when you look at the global population continuing to grow, people are going to access their sources of protein from whether it be livestock or animal protein or vegetable protein. And the pulse crops really represent that food that a part of our global population is in demand for, and that being those dried edible beans and peas.
And those are things that grow well in South Dakota?
you know, with our, much like North Dakota, with some of the western climate of the western and central parts of our state, really well. And, you know, there's been even investment in moving forward in having a pulse processing facility in the central part of the state in anticipation of that growth.
In other areas, Governor Dugard has gone to China the past couple of years, and your predecessor, Walt Bones, was a member of that delegation. Now with you, Secretary Lynch, in the Secretary of Agriculture seat, any continuing efforts with working with China?
You know, the governor and our Department of Ag staff and the governor's Office of Economic Development, you know, we recognize that international trade takes work, and it's about building and developing relationships. You know, on the ag side, you think about all of the soybeans that we raise in the state of South Dakota, and you think about global demand. Just rough math, all of the soybeans in the state would supply China for essentially 1 month of need. And so it's really important for us to continue to have those open relationships in the Pacific Rim, and really advocating for not only our ag producers, but also for our small businesses, the businesses that do things that are very much in the export market. And we've seen the success of what it means to bring a dignitary like the governor to China. It's very important. You know, it's a little bit of a paradigm shift, Carl, when you think about how we like government. In South Dakota, we want government out of our lives. When you're in the Pacific Rim or the Asian market, they trust it, and they when they see a government official come over, it really opens up doors for commerce for our businesses and producers here in our state. And so really thankful that the governor is willing to engage on that. Secretary Walt Bones, one of the best at it. He's great at diplomatic relations, and appreciate everything that he helped mentor me on as well. But it is about establishing relationships on behalf of our state and welcoming not only outbound trade missions, but inbound trade missions. You know, we can sell South Dakota in terms of, you know, the things that are going well in our state, but nothing sells our state like our own farmers and ranchers, our own business people. And so I really look forward to seeing us hosting more international visitors into our state.
Are there other countries that you're looking at?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard not to talk about South Korea. And I just referenced, I was able to go to South Korea in the spring of 2011 on a political exchange. And just the things that opened my mind to the world of opportunity. Here's a country the size of the state of Indiana with 49 million people in it, a gross domestic product of $1 trillion, and a per capita income of somewhere in that neighborhood of $25,000 to $28,000 U.S. The world of opportunity is in front of us, and when we can establish relationships with folks like in South Korea or in China to open up those trade relations, it's a good thing. The thing that really sticks in my mind was looking at that price of beef under the counter and taking and doing the conversion on it, recognizing that that beef that was on display in Seoul, South Korea, was $79 a pound as it's laid in the display case. There's value-added opportunity in meat production, which is part of the reason why I feel South Dakota is uniquely positioned with the Upper Great Plains cattle and a global recognition that livestock is the best place in the world to do it.
Secretary Lynch, we have an email question from a listener, Peg in Custer. National Public Radio lately, we've been airing some stories about aging farmers and the barriers to young people getting into farming. And Peg wants to know what is being done in South Dakota to mitigate this problem.
Well, the next generation's out there. And maybe if you don't mind, I'll tell a quick story. Recently,
sure.
In Lincoln County, having lunch with a young producer, and one of the frustrations that he had was wanted to have access to land and, frankly, just hasn't been able to compete with the producers from Iowa who have had a very diversified livestock portfolio and have had extra cash. And a quick example, when you look at the four counties around Minnehaha, McCook, Turner, Lincoln, and Minnehaha County, and when you look at that, you are essentially looking at a portfolio of $330 million worth of livestock production and $700 million of crop. When you go to the northwest county of Sioux County, Iowa, and you look at their ag portfolio, crop production is about $400 million worth of sales. But livestock, this is the number that really needs to be told more and more, livestock is $1.28 billion worth of sales this last year. And because of that diversified ag portfolio in northwest Iowa, the producers in southeastern South Dakota are losing opportunity because they can't compete with the prices of the land. So to the listener's question, you know, land values have continued to go up with the development in the commodity world as well as in the livestock world. But it's something that we talk a lot about, we promote, and that next generation's out there. They're excited to take over the reins, whether they're part of an existing operation. But first-time farmers, first generation, it takes a lot of work, and it takes a strong balance sheet. And sometimes we in government or the government programs that are in place just aren't enough to help give them that leg up. And so it's been a challenge for years. And if you go back in time, it's been something that's been top of mind for a great length of time. And we're doing everything we can to promote and help our next generation step up into production agriculture.
Well, Secretary Lynch, you've been on the job, what, since this spring? Was it April?
Right, just coming up on 4 months.
And how is it gone? Do you feel like you're sitting well? That you've got your hands on everything that's happening?
Well, I'm friends sometimes refer to it as drinking from a fire hose. I've been doing my best to get up to speed on a very diverse set of issues all across the state. Working and advocating for our farmers and ranchers is a great honor. The last 4 months has been tremendous because I've been working with some great staff and in the Department of Agriculture, you know, 7 divisions, 120 employees, a lot of different things happening from a wildland fire group in the western part of our state to the state fair park, which, let me put a plug in for that. Your South Dakota State Fair is kicking off this week, and we sure hope to see you in Huron. The state fair park's part of that. The ag development team, conservation and forestry, our ag policy division, all kinds of activities within your department that are continuing to evolve, and it's been a lot of fun. It's a great honor to be serving South Dakotans, and I'm doing my best.
Well, with we were talking about the wide variety of commodities in the state, and you mentioned everything from, you know, for the state fair, and then there's also something we were talking about yesterday, where, you know, pine beetles in the Black Hills. It seems like there's a lot that you have to keep an eye on, or to at least have to know what's going on across the state.
You bet. Well, I asked Walt after I took over the position. I said, at what point does it feel like more like a marathon versus a sprint? And he just said, good luck with that. It's just a constant flow of information and data, and you're working really hard to make sure you're taking care of issues that come up. And sometimes we have to wear the regulatory hat, and that can be a challenge. You know, someone who likes to develop, like myself, I love the sales and the marketing aspect of what we can do for our state. But there's also a regulatory component that we're called on by statute to do, and that's serious business, and that's also a part of what we do in the Department of Agriculture.
What do you see are some of the biggest challenges in agriculture right now?
You know, I think when you look at agriculture today, one of the most important things that we can be doing is making sure that in the future we're positioning ourselves as a state and as producers and as communities to be making plays on the world stage and frankly not getting played. I think that's something that we need to continue to keep our eye on the horizon of making sure that we're making our decisions. We're looking at the global demand for food. One of the big challenges is that we're in a food fight, and that food fight's amongst not only ag industries, but folks that have differences of opinion. You know, the thing that we need to keep in mind is at the table of opportunity in food production, there's room for everyone. And whether that's some of our larger, more economical ag folks, or it's our family operations that are also those large operations, but it might be local foods, it might be organic foods. It's important for us to recognize that all of that is in the food production equation, but it's unrealistic for us to not be talking about feeding a global demand and not embracing our science and technology, because there's a whole host of issues that you can look at, Carl. But when science tells you that you can, but society tells you if you can, that's a dilemma. And so one of the biggest challenges that we continue to have is making sure that agriculture and the folks working in agriculture are telling their story, because in the absence of telling our story, somebody else will, and it may not be factual, and it may not look the best on food production. And in a state like South Dakota, when our number one industry is agriculture, we have to protect and defend it and tell our story better than anybody else.
Well, Secretary Lynch, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
That's Lucas Lynch. He's South Dakota's Secretary of Agriculture. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke.